Ruth 1. Congregation of the Lord Jesus, this is the word of God. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he, his wife, and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Let's end the reading of God's word. Let's pray. O Lord God, may you make the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and be pleasing in all of your sight. O our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Do you ever find fault with God? Do you ever think that God deals unfaithfully with you? Do you ever think that God deals unjustly toward you? Do you ever think that God neglects you and withdraws his love and devotion for you? Has this ever left you bitter towards God and to fellow Christians? If you're like me, you want to answer, "Well, of course not. Far be it from me to do such a thing." But if we're honest with ourselves and with our God, we have to admit that we think in these ways from time to time. Even at the more subconscious level, our sinful hearts often refuse to blame our own predicaments on our own foolishness. We often neglect to see God's wise and compassionate care in our lives, especially in the midst of trouble. Our vision is so small, we fail to see the big picture and how the Lord intends to form our hearts after His own character through various trials and events. And through Ruth 1, the Lord Jesus assures us that He isn't above wrestling with these sometimes stubborn and bitter hearts of ours as we learn how to comprehend His ways and His character. I'll repeat that. The Lord Jesus isn't above wrestling with our sometimes stubborn and bitter hearts as we learn to comprehend His ways and His character. And I'm going to tease this point out in three points as we consider three things: the Lord's justice on Elimelech, the Lord's faithfulness in Ruth, and the Lord's patience with Naomi. To begin with, we need to see that the Lord we serve, that the Lord we worship and trust, is the God of justice. He shows this in the way He deals with Elimelech. Notice what happens to Elimelech. He and his two sons die. This isn't coincidence. This is God's justice against Elimelech and his sons. They don't die of natural causes or of old age. The Lord puts them to death. And there are a few clues that the introduction in Ruth 1 gives us to suggest these conclusions. First, the book of Ruth itself is situated in the time of the judges, a time where there was no king in Israel, a very dark and ugly time in Israel's history, where she spiraled downward into sin, into disobedience, and into faithlessness before her Lord. Second, Ruth begins in Bethlehem with a famine in the land. This is a little ironic, since Bethlehem in Hebrew means the house of bread. There is a famine in the house of bread. And this isn't the result of bad weather patterns. The land is under the Lord's curse for His people's disobedience and faithlessness. According to Leviticus 26:19, the Lord has made the heavens like iron and the earth like bronze. This famine, as we situate the book of Ruth in the time of the judges, we also have to look at the book of Judges to understand what's going on here. This famine is linked to Judges 19. Judges 19 depicts a scene where Israel becomes worse than Sodom. There, Bethlehem men attempt to rape another man and end up brutally raping a woman to the point of death. This is one of the most heinous, heinous events in the entire Bible. Painful to read. But what makes it even more painful is this isn't Sodom. This is the Lord's land, and this is the Lord's people. Our third clue is Elimelech's own name. Elimelech in Hebrew means, "My God is King." In a time where there was no king in Israel, Elimelech's name declares that Yahweh, the Lord of Israel, is king. But rather than running to his God in repentance and seeking his Lord's provision, Elimelech repudiates the meaning of his name. He runs from his king. He willfully takes his wife and his sons out of Bethlehem and seeks his own provision. And where does he take them? Moab, a nation that was the result of an incestuous encounter between Lot and his oldest daughter, way back in Genesis 19. A nation that attempted to deceive and destroy Israel in Numbers 22. A nation that the Lord commanded Israel to have nothing to do with because they didn't meet Israel with bread and with water when she came out of Egypt. It gets even more ironic. Elimelech leaves the famined house of bread for a nation that refused to feed Israel with bread and with water. This is why Elimelech dies. This is why his sons, Moabite wives, are barren for 10 years. This is why his sons eventually die after Elimelech. This is the Lord's justice for repudiating him as king. This is the Lord's justice for those who seek their own provisions. But this leads us into our second point. The Lord is not only the God of justice, he is also the God of faithfulness. He shows his faithfulness in his grace towards Ruth. He demonstrates this in Ruth's very actions as she clings to Naomi and as she confesses her faith. In the conversation between Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, notice that Orpah is kind of a foil for Ruth. Orpah abandons Naomi. She turns back to Moab, to the Moabite people, and to the Moabite gods. But Ruth clings to Naomi. The word cling is very important here. It is very unique and intimate. It's the word used to describe the unity between a man and a woman after he leaves his father and his mother's house to become one with her, to cling to her, in Genesis 2:24. It's also the word used throughout all of Deuteronomy to describe Israel's faithfulness, faithful unity to the Lord her God. Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20 is especially interesting. I'm going to read it. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and clinging to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. In a very real sense, Ruth's clinging to Naomi is her clinging to the Lord. She is choosing life, unlike her sister-in-law, Orpah. In her clinging to Naomi, she confesses that Naomi's land would become her land, that Naomi's people are her people, that Naomi's God is her God. Notice that Ruth clings to the very things Elimelech, her father-in-law, repudiated. She confesses the things that the Apostle Paul claims can only be confessed when the Holy Spirit renews our hearts. Learning from her father-in-law's mistakes, she becomes a picture of the Lord's faithfulness to his promises. Think of Abraham all the way back in Genesis 12. The Lord calls him to leave his land, his people, and his father's house, and promises to bless all the nations through him. And here is Ruth the Moabite, joined to the promise by faith, as the Lord faithfully shapes her heart after Abraham's. The Lord demonstrates his faithfulness to the nations as he accomplishes his promises by granting Ruth faith in him. But the Lord also demonstrates his faithfulness to Naomi as he will now use Ruth to restore her life. And this leads us into our third point. The Lord is not only the God of justice and faithfulness, but he is also the God of patience in his kindness towards Naomi. You may have noticed that Naomi wallows in her bitterness. She's clearly been through a lot. Her husband removed her family from the promised land. Then he and her two sons died under God's judgment. And now she is left with two Moabite daughters-in-law trying to pick up the pieces of Elimelech's failure. She is bitter. And she wants to be bitter. You can hear it in her words. This is the context of the Lord's kindness to her. He is patient with her, even as she blames him for her predicament. Naomi's bitterness begins to come out in her response to the Lord ending the famine in Bethlehem. She wants to go back. We can see this because she returns to the promised land. But she also wants to show everyone just how bitter she is, just how miserable it has been for her, just how terrible God has been to her. In addition to this, she wants to get rid of her two Moabite daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. They are a burden to her. They are a constant reminder of her husband's failures. They are a reminder of her son's death. She wants a fresh start. And so she attempts to send them back two times. She begins her first attempt by telling them to go back to their mother's house. This is uncommon language in the Old Testament. Rarely is the family's house ever labeled the mother's house in the entire Old Testament. The overwhelmingly common designation for this is father's house. Naomi isn't being incidental, however. She is intentionally telling them to go back to their mothers. She doesn't want two Moabites for daughters when she gets back to Bethlehem. She doesn't want to be their mother. She is trying to abandon them. And as she goes on, she pronounces a phony blessing on them. May the Lord deal kindly with you, and may you find rest. This may not register to our modern ears, but Naomi is using two words that define what every Israelite desires from the Lord. The first word, dealing kindly, is actually the Hebrew word hesed. It refers to the Lord's faithfulness to his promises. The second word, rest, is what every Israelite longs for, true heavenly rest. But notice where she's sending them, back to Moab, back to the country where her husband died, back to the land where her sons died, to a land that doesn't know the Lord, a land without hope of his faithfulness or his rest. Naomi is telling her daughters-in-law to go die. And because the first attempt fails, Naomi tries a different approach. She now attempts to paint and use kinder words in a way. She starts to call them my daughters. But she attempts to paint how bleak it will be to remain with her. If Orpah and Ruth go with her, they will have nothing. Naomi cannot give them sons. No, she is too old. She has no hope for herself, and she has no hope for them. But notice where she grounds the cause for this lack of hope. Verse 13. The ESV translates this verse as, "It is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone against me." I don't think this is the best translation. Another possible, and I think better translation of the Hebrew reads, "For he has been exceedingly bitter to me because of you. The hand of the Lord has struck out against me." He has been exceedingly bitter to me because of you. Naomi believes that the Lord has been bitter to her. He has struck his hand against her. This is why she's in this predicament. This is why she's in her situation. It isn't her fault. It's the Lord's. On top of this, it's because of Orpah and Ruth that she's bitter. She believes that they are the reasons her sons are dead. Think about it. Every time she looks at them, she sees them as constant and continual visual reminders that her boys are gone. Upon her arrival in Bethlehem, Naomi's bitterness is on full display for everyone to see. It has consumed her to the core. I haven't said this yet, but Naomi's name means pleasant. The book of Ruth is full of these kinds of things where it takes words, it takes names and means different things by them. Naomi's name means pleasant. But she doesn't want to be called pleasant. Call me bitter instead. This is what Mara means. Call me Mara. She says, God has made me Mara, bitter. I had everything, a husband, sons, a family, a lineage. I left the land full, but the Lord has made me empty. He has brought evil and calamity upon me, and it's his doing, not mine. We might ask the question, where is the Lord during this? If you haven't noticed yet, the Lord does a lot of things behind the scenes in the book of Ruth. But he isn't absent. He sees Naomi's bitterness. He hears Naomi's accusations against him and everybody else except her. He remains silent and listens. This is his patience and his kindness to her. The Lord isn't done with Naomi. He hasn't judged her like Elimelech and her sons. He hasn't abandoned her. He has brought her back to the land. He has given her Ruth, and he intends to transform her heart in ways she doesn't yet understand. And for now, the Lord wrestles with Naomi's bitter and stubborn heart. If you're anything like me, it's easy to point fingers at Elimelech and Naomi. It's easy to look at outsiders like Ruth and kind of put up our noses at them. But do not all these characters reflect different aspects of our own heart? Do we not often run from the Lord like Elimelech and seek our own provisions, rejecting the very name that was put on us in our baptisms, seeking to be the kings of our own lives, rejecting the help of our fellow Christians, thinking we're better off on our own? Apart from the Lord, are we not like Ruth and the Moabites, doomed and lost, without hope until the Lord claims us for his own? But I think Naomi hits us the hardest. Isn't she just a picture of our often confused hearts? Remember where I started. Do you ever find fault with God? Do you ever harbor bitterness in your heart? Do you ever think angry thoughts against God and fellow believers? If you're like me, maybe you're not as vocal as Naomi. But do you mutter them to yourselves under your breath? We want to say, far be it from me, Lord. But it's just not the truth. At times, we are no different than Naomi, stubborn and bitter. And how does the Lord deal with us? Does he strike us down? Does he abandon us? No, he deals with us according to his justice, faithfulness, and patience in Jesus. The Lord himself, who judged Elimelech for his sin, who worked faith into Ruth, the Moabite's heart, and who stood silent before Naomi, comes for us in Jesus Christ. In Jesus, the Lord shows that he is the God of justice. Jesus doesn't run away from God's wrath. No, for our sake, he runs towards it. He drinks the cup of bitterness. He bears our curse. He bears our judgment. And as a result, he doesn't strike us down. He doesn't curse us. In fact, he clothes us in himself. In Jesus, the Lord also shows that he is the God of faithfulness. He brings all of us outsiders, us Gentiles, into his congregation. He doesn't give up on us. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. He is faithful to us even when we are faithless. And in Jesus, the Lord shows that he is the God of patience. As the resurrected Lord who has ascended to the right hand of God the Father, he wrestles with us in our confusion. And he listens to us. He listens to our prayers. He listens to our muttering. He listens to our sometimes stubborn and bitter hearts. And he is transforming our hearts in ways we don't know, in ways that we cannot comprehend, in ways that we just don't understand. And he is patient as we learn to comprehend his character and his ways. Beloved, this is your Lord Jesus Christ, the God of justice, faithfulness, and patience. Reflect his character. Don't run from him. Don't run like Elimelech. Don't run from the difficulties, from the trials that he puts and sets before you. Don't run from one another. The Lord gives to us one another as gifts of grace, so that we might minister to one another, so that we might learn his ways together, so that we aren't left alone and aren't abandoned. Like Ruth to Naomi, when everyone else is gone, Ruth is with her. The most unexpected person, someone that Naomi doesn't even care about, she will not leave her. We can be like this to each other. Be patient and be kind to one another. As the Lord has each of us in different places, he has each of us in different circumstances in our lives. As the Lord is growing us in different ways, we don't usually see and don't usually understand. Be compassionate towards outsiders. And do not lift your nose up at them. Remember that you too were like Ruth once, lost and without hope in this world. And rejoice. Rejoice with one another that the Lord Jesus Christ is just, faithful, and patient with us, his beloved church and bride. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray.